Thanks be to God for his word. It's a great, great gift from God that we do have Bibles in front of us, that we are able to know through his written word. We're able to know the mind of God and his will for us. Today I'd like you to find in your Bible Matthew 4:17. We'll start from there and we'll go to the end of chapter 4. It says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan." Oh, exciting days, aren't they? Let's pray. Father, as we have now read your word, we ask you, Lord God, that your spirit would have mercy and bless us. Open our ears to what you would have us to hear and stir our hearts, Lord, to do your bidding. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. All right, so before us today, we have the beginning of Jesus' activity in and around Galilee. Last time we were together, we summed up the circumstances of the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Talked about the when, the where, and the whom, and the what of his early activities. These verses here, they start to bring us in a little closer and give us some more information about the things that Jesus did and said and the way he ministered. Let me start by picking out a couple of verbs from these verses. What did Jesus do? He preached. You see in verse 17, preached, and it's also in verse 23 that he preached. He taught, that's in 23, teaching in the synagogues. He healed. That's in 23, and then again in 24, and at the end of 24, he healed them. Also, I'd have you notice in 23 that he went. Okay, he traveled a lot. And significantly here in 21, he also called. Okay, he called some particular people. All right, just kind of take those, have those ideas there. What did Jesus do? Now, these verses still, you can see they're introductory. They serve an introductory purpose to what Matthew is going to get deeper into and give us in much more detail coming up, okay? Like I said, chapters 5, 6, and 7, we're going to embark on a concentrated exploration of what Jesus taught, okay? And you see that if you look ahead to verse chapter 5 and verse 2, that's the key verb, isn't it? He taught them. He opened his mouth and taught them. And then if you flip to the end of that sermon, end of chapter 7, you see it again, his teaching. People were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority. So we're going to talk about a lot about Jesus' teaching. And then following that, Matthew is going to give us several examples also of the acts of healing that Jesus performed. Okay, so we're going to get into all of this in some depth. But right here, we're being given a general picture of the life of Jesus during these months. What were his early works? How did he spend his time? And how did people respond to him? So let me take the verses that are more general first, and that's 17 and then 23 to 25. That's more general language. And then after that, we'll look at the specific incident that Matthew gives us about the calling of the first four disciples in the middle there. So from that time, verse 17, from that time forward, Jesus was no longer a carpenter. He laid aside his former life, he laid aside his other labors, and he fully enters into his mission. He is now 100% about his Father's business. And his Father's business is salvation. His Father's business is saving. Okay? Jesus goes out with good news to proclaim. And the good news is that an age of righteousness and peace, an age that will never end, is in store. And God is hastening its coming. God is hastening to bring that age to pass when sin and violence and treachery and grief are going to be no more. Okay? The curse that lays heavily upon us presently of decay and futility and struggle, that's going to be lifted off us. Understand, the scripture says sorrow and sighing will flee away. Death will be swallowed up in victory, the scripture says. And there will be comfort then for those who mourn now. Scripture says God himself will walk among his people and he will be their God and they will see his face. And a king will be governing that age in righteousness and in wisdom, and their joy will never end. Okay, that's the good news. The good news is that day is coming. It's at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Down there in verse 23, it says that Jesus preached the gospel. Preached the gospel, although just to kind of clarify that a little bit, that may be a little bit confusing, because if you ask a Christian, what's the gospel? What's the gospel message? We would say, well, Christ died for our sins, and God raised him from the dead, and whoever believes in him will have eternal life, right? We'll have him. Okay, ask a person, what's the gospel? And that's what we'll say. That is true, obviously, and that is what we preach. Now, since that has happened, we can look back with hindsight and see that opens the door to this. Okay, you can't get into the kingdom of heaven at all unless that has happened. But at this time, that's not what Jesus was preaching, of course, because that hasn't happened yet. Okay, understand that the word gospel, it's actually an English word. It didn't come along until like the 1100s. The Greek word here behind gospel, it just means good news. Okay, the evangel. Have you ever heard this word, the evangel? We evangelize. An angel is, the word angel means messenger. Okay, an angel is the messenger, and the evangel is the good message, all right? It's the happy message. Understand? So when we evangelize, we are giving the good message, the good news. How lovely are the feet of those of the messenger who proclaims good news, who publishes peace. Okay? So it probably should have been, I think should have been translated good news. Let's say that. Jesus went about preaching the good news of the kingdom. And that good news is that it's at hand. Okay? God promised it to our fathers. He will soon fulfill it for us, their children. The days of Messiah, days of glory, days of freedom, days of fullness, days of worship. Okay? That's upon us. You see that the good news comes with a charge. A charge, and that's in verse 17. You have to yield to God. You have to let God fit you for that age. You must find out what God requires of you and be worthy and behave worthy to enter that age. Okay, which is all of that is summed up in that one word, repent. Turn. Okay, turn from that, turn to this. Be saved. You have to be saved. The Father's business is saving, and he sent his Son into the world to be a saver, okay, to be a deliverer. The Father's will is that no one should perish, but that all should enter the kingdom. That involves you being saved. It involves you being delivered, saved out of, saved into, okay? And for the rest of his days, from that time on, Jesus will, for the most part, be on the move. He is a traveling preacher. If we were to make a distinction between preaching and teaching, it would be this. Preaching is it's the proclamation of the good news. Okay, the word caruso means to announce something. Okay, we have a message to announce. It means to herald, to proclaim something. Okay, and we see that in verse 17. Jesus went out and began to make it known to people that the kingdom of God is at hand. He's trying to get people's attention. Okay? He's trying to alert them to this fact and then to say, for that reason, okay, because it's near, for that reason, you must repent. You turn from error, turn from iniquity, and do the will of the Father in heaven. Well, people will ask, what is that will? So that's where you get to teaching. Okay, that's the difference. What does God require of you? What must I do to be saved? How is it that I enter the kingdom? What does this, you know, this concept of repentance, what does it entail? What is God's will for me personally? What's the life that he wants me to lead? That involves teaching. Okay, and as I said, we're going to be getting to that. Okay, certainly God has preserved for us a magnificent monument of the teaching of Jesus, who spoke like a man never spoke. Okay, and we're going to see that very soon. We should also notice here, what is the range of Jesus' preaching and teaching travels? It says that he went about all Galilee. Okay, all Galilee. Seems like he taught both indoors and out of doors. It says he was in synagogues. Of course, the Sermon on the Mount, you see, that we're coming to, that's out in the open. Okay, so he teaches both in synagogues and out in the open, public preaching. All Galilee, to give you an idea of how big that is, you could maybe, if you put together Cumberland County and Atlantic County, it's roughly, say, 30 by 50 miles, something like that, consider it a couple of days' walk in every direction. All right, you can get to the shore in a couple, you know, in an hour by car, but you don't have a car. You have to walk. So picture yourself covering on foot all of Cumberland County. I'll grant you this, at age 30. Okay, it is, but it's a couple of days' walk in every direction. All right, and that is a lot of area to cover for one man. Okay, it's a lot of small towns, a lot of villages. There's a couple of dozen cities with walls, and just let that, think about the size of that area from now for a while, and give, let it give you some idea of the amount of effort, the great amount of energy the Lord had to expend to spread the good news. Okay. A lot of territory for one man to cover, and then to go in every village square, and then to preach and to also minister to people's needs. So you do see it in a couple of places that he didn't stay in any one location for very long. You see it in the first chapter of Mark. They're in a place. He stays up late ministering to all the sick. He's up early to pray the next morning, and the disciples find him and they say, oh, everybody's looking for you. And he says, we have to move on. Okay, let's be off to the next town so I can preach there as well, because that is why I was sent. So he's always going. Okay, what we see in this is that Jesus came to call many. Okay, he came to shine the light of the good news of the kingdom far and wide, not to a lucky, limited few, but to all right? Not just to Capernaum, but to as many as he can encompass inside the sound, the range of his voice, okay? It's one same message. You see, he preaches one message everywhere he goes, but many audiences, all right? That's the thing. God loves the world. And so Jesus went everywhere doing good, all right? That's something that Peter says later on in Acts. He went everywhere doing good. His days are physically demanding. He is up late at night. He's off early in the morning. Friends, should we realize that this is still what God wants to accomplish through you and me, through this ministry? Okay, this is what God still wants to accomplish. This, what we have here, it's just the very beginning of God's work. It's just the crack of dawn, so to speak. And this is, I mean, as big as it is for one man, it is one little region of the big wide world. When we get to the end of Matthew, of course, it's don't stop here. Hey, don't stop here in Galilee or just in Judea. Go into every nation. You're going to be my witnesses in every nook and cranny of the world. Go to every city and town. Go where the people are and issue this invitation to the age to come. Hey, so you, the congregation, you and I, here at First Baptist Church, this congregation exists for a purpose. Okay, and of course we have more than one purpose. One of our purposes is to worship God together. Okay, if we're not glorifying God, what are we even here for? We worship God together. That's one of our purposes. Another one of our purposes is to build up one another in the faith, okay, to teach. But another one of our purposes, why we even exist, is to spread the news about Jesus and his kingdom that is coming, okay?
Amen.
Spread his fame abroad.
Amen.
We are supposed to be making him known to as many as are within our reach, because God loves the world. The scripture says many are called, right? You're not going to make a disciple out of every single one, but they all need to hear it, okay? There is not a single person in our town that God does not want to be reached with the message, okay? There are the little children in the elementary schools. He wants them to be reached. God has a message for them. There's your neighbors wherever you go. If you're going to a little league softball game, if you're going out to the doctor, if you're all the people that you pass, God wants them to hear. The farmers, the school children, the computer guys, the people in the nursing home, whether they're foreign or native born, it doesn't matter. God wants them all to hear. And we have a message. Our message is not a message about elections. Understand? I know there's one coming up. That has nothing to do with our message. Our message has nothing to do with we're not trying to sell anybody anything. We are not trying to tell people that we have a way to get rich quick, okay? Our message transcends all of that. This age, passing away. Understand, everything in this age is passing away. We have a message to tell people about the one to come, about the age to come, because the Lord God Almighty himself invites each and every person to be there to enter the kingdom of God. And our message is to tell people, you have to set your sights on that. You have to seek that. Okay? Don't worry about the things of this age. The world will worry about itself. Jesus went about everywhere. He went all through Galilee. Why? Because every single man, woman, and child is potentially a citizen of the kingdom. And that remains true right here in Bridgeton. Every single resident of the city of Bridgeton is potentially a member of the kingdom of heaven. And there's no good reason that the Lord's people here in this place, here in Bridgeton, can't publish the message of the kingdom to come to every single pair of ears. Okay? We are told that we have to spread abroad the fragrance of Christ wherever we go. We're told to always have the message in the forefront of our minds and be ready to give it. We're supposed to make him known. We're supposed to tell this good news to every pair of ears. Like I said, not just here in Bridgeton, but in any given town, every single person, God wants them to hear. The only reason it doesn't happen or hasn't happened is either because God's people lack the knowledge of the message, or it's for lack of trying. Okay, lack of realizing that this is our purpose, that the bringing of whosoever wishes to enter the kingdom, the bringing them into the fold, that's our purpose. Okay? That is our commission. That's what Jesus set out to do. That's why he calls disciples. And that is why God testified to his message and to the disciples' message later by these signs and wonders, okay? By these manifestations of God's power of life, the power of the kingdom to come, among all who are afflicted with every kind of ailment, okay, even possession by unclean spirits. Let's look at that. We see that Jesus performed all these miracles, right? What for? Why did he do this? It's because of the message. The message is that the kingdom of God is at hand. Paradise is at hand. The eschatological age is coming. And boy, is it ever, okay? People are to see that the renewing, saving power of God is present in this man, Jesus. right? If there's a kingdom to come, he's the king of the kingdom to come, right? He's the king to be. And so the age to come is nearer than it has ever been because the designated king is walking in the midst of his people. And it is as though the after effects of the fall, of the curse, have to flee away from him when he comes. Understand? He looks upon the weak and the sick and the tormented and the crippled, and he has compassion on them. And with a word or with a touch of his hand, he restores. Okay? He counters the effects of the fall. The only reason there is such things like that in the world at all, the only reason there is sickness and death and paralysis and demon possession at all, is because of sin. Okay, Genesis 1:31, we've studied it in our Sunday school. God created everything. It was very good, right? There was no sickness and death designed into the creation. It was all very good. But sin entered the world, and death entered the world through sin, and death has spread to all because all have sinned. And men fell away from God. And so, of course, now they're subject to all of these consequences. They're subject to all manner of diseases and afflictions. Okay? You have some of them. Of course, your family members have passed away and will pass away. Even being victimized by wicked spirits, it's consequences of having fallen out of fellowship with God. The scripture says, and it's a Hebrews 2 for what it's worth, scripture says that God ratified or validated the message that the Lord Jesus preached by these various signs and wonders. See what kind of miracles he does, though. He's not doing magic tricks like making the sun go out, or turning a frog into a prince or something like that, okay? Those things would get people's attention, okay? That's not the point. That would be something spectacular, but the point isn't just to do something spectacular. They're to show something. They give indication. They give the people a foretaste of the age to come. Okay? The age to come is when sorrow and sickness will be no more. It's when all of the tears and the torments and the diseases will be forgotten. They will be cured. Okay? And of course, all the powers of darkness will have been banished and utterly crushed. That age is an age of life and wholeness and health. In the presence of this man, the Son of God, in Jesus, the kingdom of heaven has come nearer than it ever has. You see that John the Baptist used these very same words, right? The kingdom of heaven is near, therefore repent. Those were his words too. But there is something great that accompanies Jesus' preaching. It's the actual working of the power of God to undo the afflictions of the fallen age, to drive away the powers of darkness, to abolish sickness and restore health, to give strength. In place of, okay, John never did any miracles, did he? Because the one greater than he was yet to come. And now Jesus comes and the kingdom of heaven is very much near at hand. So it's no surprise then that many followed him, okay, that multitudes crowd around him, that his fame went abroad, okay? Crowds are drawn, you see, from a much larger area. If you read in 24:25, it tells you the larger radius that people are coming in from, because God himself is testifying to his Son, Jesus Christ. People are getting their first taste of the powers of the coming age. Okay, that's a phrase also from Hebrews. Hebrews 6 says the Christian tastes the powers of the age to come. People are, for the first time, they're being enlightened. They are, as Hebrews 6 says, tasting the heavenly gift. They are encountering the Holy Spirit, tasting the good word of God and the powers of the age to come in this man, in the person of this traveling preacher, Jesus. Wouldn't it be fantastic to see these things happening? Yes, of course. It would be fantastic if all manner of disabilities and handicaps, and even just your routine sniffles and flus and fevers and broken bones, you know, we're just driven away. That's what Jesus did whenever he was in a place. Okay, can you imagine the stir it would cause? It would be intense. As for us today, hey, we're told, brothers and sisters, that we have to be content to wait in hope for the actual age itself. Okay, it is still future, but it's coming. Understand, it is surely coming. And the scripture says, and this is Romans 8, it says that one does not hope for what he can see, okay? Hope that you can see can't be called hope, right? But if we wait for what we do not yet see, then we can hope for it with eager expectation. Okay, that's Romans 8, if you want to look at that. But we know that because God is true, we know that that hope will not disappoint. It will not prove empty. Okay, that's Romans 5. Perfect bodies, wholeness, power. Okay, the scriptures talk about the glory of the sons of God and their release from weakness. Okay, we want the Lord Jesus to come and to bring the kingdom of heaven down to earth. Okay, lastly, we see that Jesus did not intend to do all of this work alone. Okay, and so let's go to verse 18 and following. He calls helpers. He calls disciples. Many are called. Okay, but some, you see here, some are called to help in the calling. Okay, all may be saved. All right, all without discrimination may be saved. But there are those who specially enter the service of the Lord, and they leave everything else behind. Okay, we're going to actually, I'll have you flip ahead to chapter 10. We're going to see these guys later being given his authority. They're going to be delegated with his commission to go into the cities of Israel and preach the same message. Okay, they're going to say the same words, and they're going to work the very same works. Chapter 10, verse 5. All right, this is down the road a piece, okay, but these 12, the 12 apostles, Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, not yet, it's for later, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, proclaim, okay, herald, tell the good news, saying, guess what, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, same message, okay, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and then in verse 8, the same works. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Okay, so what we that's coming up. What we have here is the beginning. He is beginning now to gather these men to his side. So you see that first you follow and you observe. And then later on he sends you out to go and do it yourself. Okay? What we see of these who are called is that they make a clean break. Okay, if you read all four Gospels and you put the pieces together, you will see that this here that we have, this is not the very, very first time these men met Jesus. They had been disciples of John the Baptist first, or at least Andrew had. And, you know, Andrew goes and tells Peter, okay. They had met Jesus previously at the Jordan River. Here, this is a little bit later. Matthew doesn't have that earlier incident. But here now, Jesus comes up to them to claim them, if you please, and say, get up, arise, let's go. Come here is probably a better translation of that word than follow me. Okay, it says follow me in English, but really, come here is better. It's time, okay? From today, you will be fishermen no more. From now on, you will fish for people, okay? And there is a clean break. Just the same thing that Jesus did, right? He's a carpenter, no more. Okay, now he's a builder of God's house. Okay, just so you will fish for fish, no more. Now you're going to go fishing for men to fill the house of God. Okay, full time, you will give your life to it. Follow me, come now. Following Jesus, we're going to see throughout the book, this is something that can be done one way or can be done another way. Okay, following Jesus. You see in 25, all of the crowds, too, are said to follow Jesus, aren't they? But many of them are following him because of the sensational things he's doing, right? You could say they're tagging along, maybe. You only follow me, he says, and John, you're only following me because you ate the bread, right? You ate the bread from the miracle, and you had your fill. But what about the bread that endures to everlasting life? Why aren't you seeking that? Okay, we'll see people turning back from him for one reason or another. We're going to see that people love a miracle, but they kind of get tired of the teaching. People are hesitant to give up life's comforts. They're hesitant to break away from their families. They're hesitant to give up their way of life and their money and so on in order to truly follow him. And so, you know, they follow him for a while and then they drop off. Okay, they're followers, but they're not really followers. Okay, not so with these four men. Okay, these guys are not tagging along. Okay, later on we're going to see Peter say, "We've left all to follow you." Okay, we've left all. James and John, they don't just leave their whole business; they leave their father. Okay, these men are not coming home for dinner tonight. They are not coming back to work in the morning or the next day after that. They are leaving. Okay, they're off to go travel with Jesus. It is a whole different life. Okay, what kind of a follower are you going to be? What kind of disciple will you be? Now, granted, we're talking about the apostles. Okay, the apostles had a bit of a special calling. But for real, are you going to just tag along? Or are you going to make a life commitment to Jesus, the Son of God? He calls you, and he calls you to a different life, a different kind of life that will not be like the lives of your neighbors who live around you. He is calling you to a special calling, a holy calling. Maybe he will, and maybe he won't call you to leave a job and give yourself full time to the work of salvation. Okay, most people he doesn't actually call to leave a career for his sake. And in fact, to most he says, abide in the calling in which you were called. But he's certainly not looking for the kind of people who are just there to tag along. Understand? He's not looking for people who are just there to see a spectacle. And you do have to make the choice to follow him, knowing this, that it will be costly. Okay, you do have to make a clean break with your past to be a follower of Jesus. There is going to be difficulty ahead if you're going to follow Jesus. There's hardship, there's exhaustion, there's discomfort. You have to swallow your pride very often. There's going to be sleepless nights as you worry and pray. Okay, plus you may not feel like you're fit for the work, but I guess you can leave that up to him. You know, he'll qualify you. He'll qualify you to be his disciple and to participate in the work of gathering people into the kingdom. Okay, the work of building up the brothers, whatever your work is, whatever the work is by which you will serve the master, Jesus says you will by no means lose your reward. You will by no means fail to receive your reward. He says 100-fold in this life, and in the age to come, when the Son of Man sits on his throne, it will be immortal life. Immortal life, your reward. Follow Jesus and follow him without delay today. Arise and obey. He is calling you. And get involved in his work. Okay, don't just be a face in the crowd. There is a lot to do, and the time is short. Okay, we need workers here at First Baptist. We need people who will give of their best to the master. For example, we have Sunday school classes to teach. Who is willing to put in the effort and the weekly study and become a leader in this regard? Is anyone willing? Are you willing to do it for the sake of Jesus? We have young people, but not really a youth program. We have worship. Who's going to share a musical gift? Who's going to come to choir practice? We have a few people each wearing many hats, and that's actually a typical church situation. We have a building to take care of. We have some renovation projects we would like to do. Those things cost money. We have the Good News Club rally in a few weeks that we're going to need volunteers for. We could use a secretary. We could use a website guy, greeters, missions chair, Christian education chair, fundraising leader. Okay. Do all of these ministries take away from your personal time? Yes. Yes, they do. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. It's worthy work. It all is worthy work. Don't just tag along. Hey, you can have a share in the labor for the King of Kings. It is worthy work. And if you don't know how to do something, well, that's fine too. Okay, you find out by getting involved. Okay, first you become a follower, and then you become a leader, just as these men did. You see that even Jesus, the mighty Son of God, even he did not serve alone, okay? He had helpers. He is the head of the body, but the body has many members. Each member has a contribution to make so that the whole body functions properly. Arise and follow Jesus. Follow him into the work. He will fit you out for the work. But you may have to be willing to, you have to be willing to get up and go. You may have to be willing to drop a couple of other things. Drop your fishing pole and get up and go follow Jesus. Okay? Peter and John, you know, at this point, all they know is fishing. But because they go, in time, these men will be the men who astonish the Sanhedrin with their preaching. Okay? Who hundreds of people in the temple courts will be hanging on their words, because those people will see the power of God at work in these men. Unschooled, ordinary men. That's what Acts says. Unschooled, ordinary men who had been with Jesus. Okay? They left their old life behind. They went with him. They walked with him. They learned from him. Okay? It takes a little time. You have to follow him. You have to meet him. You have to get to know him. But before very long, you also will be able to say, like they did, we cannot help but speak about the things that we have seen and heard. Understand? Obey his call. Go with him into the work. Preach the kingdom. Teach. Heal. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Amen. Let's commit ourselves to the Lord. Lord Jesus, I will go where you want me to go. I will leave my former life and be your disciple. I come to you for the forgiveness of sins. I come to you for wisdom. I come to you for power. Help me to glorify God by my life. Make me a worthy, fitting, useful disciple. This is my heart's desire. I want to follow you. Take me with you, Lord Jesus, wherever you go, and use me. I pray it for your Father's glory. Amen.